Good evening, or good morning, wherever you happen to be. This is Al Cuppett speaking tonight. I've been asked to do the program by Lou and Elizabeth, and I'm glad you're listening. And certainly the folks out there, we hope to be blessed. We'll say a short prayer that the Lord will bless the service, we'll bless the meeting, and that the Lord will speak to us and touch us and bless the program and bless our producer. And, of course, Lou and Elizabeth, who are standing by. Well, shall we have a word of prayer before we start? Let's really ask the Lord to bless us. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God. We ask you now, Lord, to bless this program. Use these words to glorify thy name and thy kingdom. Bless the producer, bless the listeners, and Lord, all those that listen, and anyone else hears it later on. We ask you to bless them, be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, today the recording is being done, it's kind of rainy, and we've had a cold winter. However, we're still here and things are going on. I want to talk a little bit about the power of Jesus' resurrection, since I've been asked to do this. And I'd like to tell you of a couple instances that we had where the Lord's power was revealed. And first I'd like to read a scripture to you. I'm going to read from St. John chapter 11. And it's right there where Martha meets Jesus on the way to Bethany. And I've walked that mile and the 7/8 many times, several times. And that was where they met, and this is what the Lord said to her. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's speaking of her brother Lazarus, who has died. Okay. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so said, she went her way. We find here that we'll start with John, but I want to read one more to you from Exodus. It's Exodus 3, verse 14. Moses has met the Lord in the burning bush. God, in this case, they're one and the same. Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers saith, has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You'll notice that those are I am that I am. You find I am three times in all caps. There is a numerical supernatural code in the authorized version which can be counted. I am is three capital letters and three times. I am that I am. I am sent me. Okay? So, three is the number for divinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'll discuss this a little bit. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to touch on it as we go through. The code is there. It's called Geometry of Numerics. And only one Bible counts, the authorized version. But the point I'm making here is I am that I am sent you. And we find that several times repeated, the phrase I am, in the New Testament. One time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came and whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am he. He says, I am he three times. I am, I am, I am three times. So he is the very creator of the universe we're talking about. Now let's go to St. John. I'm going to start in St. John 11. That's what I wrote. I'm going to start in the first verse. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I've been there several times. I've been 12 times to Israel. It's there. Town is there. There's a tomb there that they say may have been Lazarus. Who knows? But we know in the scripture what happened there. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him who thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now Jesus knew where he was going. He knew right from the beginning where he was going, okay? And he said, he could have said to them, I am going to the tomb. Let's go to Judea because I'm going to the tomb. He was thinking that because he knew he was going there. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? In the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. And right in front of them stood the creator of the universe, I Am, was there. And he knew he was going to the tomb of Lazarus. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. He's thinking, fellas, I'm going to the tomb. Friends, I am going to the tomb. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But don't worry. I am going to the tomb, he's thinking. Don't worry. Friends, don't worry. I Am is going to the tomb. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And they started on the way to the tomb. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus. Now, Thomas always seems to say things that get it kind of mixed up a little bit. He was, sort of. He said unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Well, Jesus didn't answer that. He just kept on going. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Four. The number four is significant in the authorized version because four is a number, if you count your Bible for 40 years, you will find that four is a number for the Creator, creation, the earth, or the world. Okay? You got four winds, four seasons, four corners of the earth, four hemispheres, four phases of the moon, four points of the compass. Okay? And four is a number for Creator. And right there we find, okay, the number four. And we also know he is the creator, and the creator of the earth In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. The Word, the living Word, is Jesus. The written Word explains Him. And He is actually Almighty God. And there He stood with them, right there, the creator of this universe, standing right there in front of them. Now, Bethany was nine to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and that's about a mile and 7/8. Furlong is 1/8 of a mile. So, it's a little walk. You can't walk it now without going through the fence, which has been built, the defensive fence. And there's guards posted at one spot in the wall where you can walk from Bethany to Jerusalem. Okay? And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. See what she did? She knows her brother's dead. But she knows his power, and she knows who he is. And she's fishing a little bit. I know that whatever you ask God, he'll give it to you. Now, she hadn't seen Jesus raise anybody from the dead yet that I know of. He raised three from the dead because he's divinity himself. She's fishing there. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Hey, you could ask him anything you want. You're his only begotten son, too, at the same time. You could ask the Father for whatever you want, and he'll give it to you. And, you know, Jesus is thinking, hey, don't worry. Don't worry, Martha. Things are going to happen here because I'm going to that tomb. He's thinking, I'm going to the tomb. I am is going to the tomb. You know, I went to a, I don't go to movies, don't go to plays, but one time there was a play called Crime and Punishment. And I thought, well, as a Jewish director and maybe a writer, I ought to go, maybe. And I prayed about it, and I put a little fleece out, and the Lord said, go. And so we went to that play, the arena stage, and it sits in the middle of the four sides of the arena, and it's down in the middle. There's no backdrop curtain. It's all right in the middle. And this fellow was a murderer. And the lights were down, and he was talking to this woman. He was all convicted of his murder crime, sin. And he said, what did Jesus say about Lazarus' tomb? What about what Jesus said? And if you read right here, I'm going to tell you. And she turned to the audience, and she spoke in the old English. And she said, she turned, and it was quiet. And she said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I'm telling you, folks, that stunned that audience. There were others in there that were Christians. There were two of us at least. There were two other Christians. And the Spirit of God was there in those words. And those words matched what was settled in heaven, forever settled in heaven, in Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And those words matched what was written in heaven. And that audience was stunned. It ricocheted and it echoed in that place. I am the resurrection and the life. And you could hear a pin drop. It was mighty. It was dynamic. During the intermission, somebody said, how do you like the play? I said, I like the part about I am the resurrection and the life. Ooh. It was shocking. It stunned us all. And it wasn't even in a church. The word has power, folks. speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He magnifies the word above us, all his name. The angels hearken unto the voice of his word, for the word of God is not bound. It shook that place. Anyhow, she's there. And she said, I know that whatever you will ask, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Because guess what, Martha? He's thinking, I am going to the tomb. Martha saith unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. You see, he was dead and she knew it. He knew that there'd be a second resurrection. Okay? The just. She'd been taught that. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's thinking, Martha, I am going to the tomb. The great I am is going to the tomb, Martha. And he's thinking these words, and he's about to show them. We're about to learn that. Now, we have the benefit of the scripture right now, okay? We have the book in front of us. She didn't have a written book in front of her like we got right now. We have the Gospels written in black and white, and sometimes Jesus' words in red. Not that it makes any difference. She didn't have that. She had only heard teachings in the synagogues. She'd only heard the old scrolls read here and there in the Old Testament. But here is the new covenant. Here is the creator of the universe walking the earth. And she and Martha and Lazarus, three people, were witnesses to his power, to his glory, and to his ministry. We ascertain it by faith, okay? Faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? We apprehend Jesus by faith. We can look at that real quick. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? But standing in front of Martha was living faith, living hope. The resurrection and the life was standing in front of her. The God of creation, the I Am who spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Tell him I am that I am sent you, Moses. Tell him that. I am that I am. When they came for him in the garden, as I told you. Right as they came, he said, Who seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. He spoke it three times. I am he. I am he. I am he. Three times. One time in the Gospels it says that it was so powerful that they fell backwards. They fell down. They fell backwards. The words were so powerful. And yet they were so hardened in their hearts. He smote the ear off. Peter smote the ear off of Malchus, the high priest's servant, and cut his ear off. Jesus reached down and put it back on his head. If he hadn't, they'd all been criminals right then. He healed them, right? He healed the guy right there in front of them. And they took him to the cross. Their hearts were hardened. The world's hearts are hardened towards Jesus these days. It's getting worse every day. We need to get up early in the morning and we need to pray. We need to pray early in the morning. And I'll tell you something, if you ever wake at 3:00 in the morning and the Lord speaks some words to you, you hear the still small voice. It's important when he wakes you at 3:00. I'm going to tell you now. It's very important. Okay? And she says, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. She believed. She knew who he was. Mary knew who he was. And certainly Lazarus did too. But Jesus stayed in those that town there for a couple of days or so, so that by the time he got where he was, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and is calling for thee. And if she'd known, she could have said, but he's going to the tomb. Come on, let's go. He's going. You need to go. He's going to the tomb. She didn't know at that point, but she knew he was headed towards that direction. The great I Am, folks, is going to the tomb. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him, where Martha met him. Mary shows up at the same place. Okay? The Jews then, which were with her in the house and were comforted and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. Jesus was approaching the town and approaching the tomb. The great I Am of Calvary. Folks, I've stood in the garden tomb where Jesus was, they say Jesus was buried. It's quite close to the top of that little knoll there, which was called Golgotha. At least 12 times I've stood in the garden tomb and looked out over the East Jerusalem bus station. There's an Arab-oriented bus line there that goes into the West Bank. And it's right there in front of Golgotha. And you can look across and see the place of the skull. It's called the place of the skull because you can see the shape of a skull in the hillside. On top now is an Arab cemetery. You're not allowed to go up there anymore. But that's surely where he was crucified. Not that it matters that he was where he was crucified, but that what matters was he was crucified. And he rose again the third day. You know, in the song at Calvary, years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not with me he died at Calvary. Well, there's a verse in there. It says, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You see, there's a great gulf between a holy, holy God and a sinful world. It is a great gulf. We can't really understand the power of his resurrection unless you get saved. Then you understand the power to bring you from death unto life, from being lost in your sins to being saved and born again. It is a great gulf. And it took the death of Jesus and his resurrection for God the Father to reconcile man unto himself, sinful man. And if we're faithful and just to call upon Jesus to forgive us of our sins, he can carry us across that great gulf into a life of holiness and a life of salvation and being born again, a new birth in Christ Jesus. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. He did it right there on top of that hilltop. And a short ways away, just probably down at the foot of that hill, there was the tomb. And he rose from that on the third day. Passover begins on the 30th of March this year. Jesus actually was raised. God raised him from the dead 3 days after Jewish Passover, which was in the third day of the week of unleavened bread. Okay? If he was going to celebrate his resurrection, you would celebrate each year after Jewish Passover, the third day after Jewish Passover. Okay? Easter and Passover are not the same. No way in this world. All right? Anyhow, he came there, and she rose and quickly came unto him. He was not in the town, but was at the place where Martha met him. And the Jews said, well, she's going to the grave to weep there. Well, she got to him and she said, when Mary was coming where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him exactly what Martha said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But Jesus is thinking, don't worry, Mary. Don't worry, Martha. I am going to the tomb. The great I am is going to the tomb. The creator of the universe will soon stand before that stone. The very one who said, let there be light. Tell him, Moses, I am that I am sent you. Go tell him, Moses, I am that I am sent you. Today, when you're in this world, talking to people here and there, the great I am has sent you. He has sent you to warn this world of what's coming, to warn them that they're lost. You know, I was in Germany, and I was in the PX pickup point where you get your pick up film there, you pick up your, you used to have film, okay? Pick up your shoes that were repaired, you pick up your laundry, you pick up name tags, whatever you need. Small things you can order. It's not the PX itself, it's a little adjunct to it. And the lady was standing there, and the Spirit of God told me, tell her about salvation. Huh. And so instead of telling her about salvation, I found out who she was. We were talking, and we had plenty of time because this guy was back there looking for her stuff, her laundry. And I can remember this little man. I can remember him right now. He's probably going on now for sure. I didn't tell her about salvation. Her name is Jean. I remember she told me, and we talked about camping and so forth. And I said, well, I'll just send her a tract in the distribution mail. I know who where her husband works. I didn't tell her about Jesus. 2 days later, I was walking through the parking lot, the cobblestone parking lot of a Panzer barracks, a tank barracks that belonged to the Germans in World War II. Captain Diekmeyer walked up and said, did you hear about Jean? I said, no. Yeah, the commander's wife. What do you mean, Commander Cahill? No, the other commander. She was killed in a head-on collision yesterday. I gasped, oh, dear Lord, what have I done? Oh. I went off and I found me a corner at lunch hour and I bawled my eyes out. I didn't have time to send her a tract. I didn't have time to send her a tract. I should have talked to her then about it. She was killed in a head-on collision 2 days later on the Autobahn. Folks, it's your time. It's time to tell folks once in a while about Jesus. You pray and say, Lord, send somebody to talk to, and then when that person comes, you can tell them. But be careful nowadays who you talk to. Make sure you're prayed up. Make sure the Lord guides you to a person to talk to. So here's Mary. My brother wouldn't have died, Lord, if you'd have been here. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Here is the creator of the universe, the great I am, weeping because they were sad. They were sad. But he knew something that they didn't maybe know. He was going to that tomb and he was standing right near it right then. The I am of creation was standing in front of the tomb. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Yes, he's a God of love. Even love has four letters, the number for the Creator, in English language. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Oh, yeah. But the time wasn't ripe yet. The time wasn't quite right yet. He stayed away on purpose, so he'd been dead 4 days. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Ye means you all in the old English. You don't need any Greek or Hebrew to find out what it means. Look it up in the English dictionary. You find a hard word in the King James Bible like re-reward, R-E-R-E-W-R-D. Look it up in English dictionary, and it'll say in there, O-B-S, obsolete, or it'll say A-R-C-H, archaic. Okay, re-reward means rear guard. You don't need any concordance to find out what it means. You look up in an old English dictionary. Use the old, the antique word, or the obsolete word. Smart. Take ye away the stone. Take a stone away. It's going to take more than one guy, okay? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he thinketh he's been dead. He hath been dead 4 days. That's what Martha said. But they hadn't ascertained that the great I Am was going to the tomb. The creator of the universe was going to the tomb, and when he comes, things change. When Jesus goes to the scene, things change. Greater things shall you do in my name, because I go unto my Father. And I shall send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he shall lead thee into all truth. Jesus can only be in one place at a time, but the Holy Spirit can be every place. Every place where the word is spoken. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But the word has to be there for him to have the liberty. Spoken word or the written word must be there. It must be present. If it matches what's settled in heaven, it's the word of God. If the Bible you're reading matches what is forever settled in heaven, you have the word of God. If your Bible does not match, you have a counterfeit Bible. You keep using that counterfeit Bible and you'll soon have a counterfeit church. But only one Bible counts, the authorized version. Only one Bible counts. Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and you want to roll away the stone? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's working up to this point. He's taken quite a while to walk a mile and 7/8, and talking as he went. It's taken him several days to get there. Okay? Let me say something to you here. In the authorized version, there's this code, and 16 is the number for love. You count your Bible when you find a 16. There's a book out there called Biblical Mathematics, Keys to Scripture Numerics, by Ed Velo. He's gone on now. But the code is out there. You can read the book and find how I come to the conclusion, these numbers, what they mean. Now, you have to have a lot of knowledge of Scripture to understand. The Lord won't show it to you until you have a lot of scriptural knowledge. 16 is a number for love, and 12 is a number for authority. 12 apostles, 12 of the founding of the fathers, the 12 tribes. It's called a governmental authority. Well, when he spoke to the water, what did he say? Peace, be still. He spoke 3 words and 12 letters. 3 is a number for divinity. He spoke by divine authority. He spoke by divine authority to the waters. Peace, be still. What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey. And the wind ceased blowing. This is the God. This is the Jesus that you serve. This is the Jesus that saved you from your sins. But what did he speak to Lazarus? We'll see in just a second. And when he had thus, he cried, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There's a phrase there, it's two phrases, Lazarus and come forth. There are 16 words in that those two phrases. And there's two phrases. Two's the number for reunion. You're going to have a reunion here, folks. This guy is going to be reunited with his two sisters. He spoke with divine love, 16 letters. He loved Lazarus, remember? So he spoke to his great loving creation that he created man. He spoke three words and 16 letters, divine love. He spoke to Lazarus in divine love. He spoke to the water by divine authority. He didn't love the water, it's just something we have to have. But he loved Lazarus and he spoke three words and 16 letters, Lazarus, come forth. Yes, the whole authorized version is counted like that. Okay. And it says, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. The guy's got to breathe. He hadn't breathed for 4 days, and now he's got life in him. You got to get that thing off his face because he's going to choke. Get that napkin off his face. There he was. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told what things Jesus had done. Oh. The great I Am went to the tomb, and he went to the cross. And he came out of that tomb on the third day. And he can be the propitiation for our sins. He can be our sacrifice. They don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore. Jesus said, it is finished. No more blood sacrifices. I am the Lamb of God. I am your sacrifice. The great I Am was our sacrifice. In the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, you'll find a phrase, the Lord our righteousness, in all capital letters. It's got 23 letters and four words. One of those four is creator, and the other 23 is the number for death. You have 23 pair of chromosomes. Why is there four capital words with all capitals and 23 letters? Four is number for creator, 23 number for death. The Lord our righteousness. How was your righteousness purchased? Through the death of the Creator. That's why there's four words and 23 capital letters. The Creator died for our sins. The great I Am went to the cross. And he had the power. Before he even went to the cross, he had the power to raise Lazarus. He raised two others in his ministry. And one day he's going to speak the words, arise. The trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we shall be caught up to ever be with him in the air. That's the power that he has. And he demonstrated it before he went to the cross. Think of it, what power he had after the cross, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Wherein he conquered death, hell, and the grave. To be able to save us from our sins. Let me tell you what happened in India, folks. I went to India in 1990, 91, and 92. I went three times. I went a fourth time, but I didn't go to the Bible school the fourth time. And the Bible tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. It's found about 10 times or more in the Bible. It's very critical. Almost everything in the Bible has more than two witnesses, okay? Two times you'll find it. I went to India, and it was a non, it was an evangelical Bible school, but it wasn't the full gospel Bible school. They didn't believe in the complete gospel completely. They didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know miraculous things. But they were Christians, and the founder was a Christian, and his son was a Christian. And I had been there twice, and this time I was there the third time. And one of those days of those 2 weeks, I had preached on divine healing. The director had gone to America to itinerate for more funds, and his son was there. But his son was called to New Delhi to explain to the interior minister what the opposition party was causing a lot of trouble for him, and he wanted to know what was going on. So the boy had to go, the son had to go up there, and I was left, and I was the senior person at that point. And they didn't believe quite like I did on some of these things, so, you know. But as long as you sent the money to the Bible school, they'd let you preach. And I got there, of course, on the first day. But the first day, I hear the clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. I hear the girl's flip-flops going by my window, going to Vespers upstairs. In this big chapel, kind of, which is concrete floor, and you take your little mat and you sit on the floor. There are no chairs up there to speak of for the kids. Sometimes they have meetings up there, they bring chairs. But and about 5 minutes later, knock on the door. Well, Uncle, come preach to us at 5:30 in the morning. At 5:30 in the morning. Okay, I'll come on up there. So I went up, and I went up every morning for the next 13 days. But the director and the vice director were gone, and I had spoken on divine healing. And a few of these kids, belong of the 200 or so, were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I had spoken on divine healing. And the day before I left that night at 11 o'clock, the knock on my door. There's three kids, three, one, two, three, standing there. Uncle, come to the dispensary. Sister's very bad off, Uncle. It's very serious, Uncle. Please come. No, Uncle, come, Uncle, come. It's about 11 o'clock, folks. I was sacked out, you know. I usually wake at about 3 in the morning to pray, like always, sometime in the morning. Come on, Uncle, come with us. And they were going to take me no matter what. Now, the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We have one witness that God will heal. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the first witness. It's there. We have that witness. But I have found that you need a second witness. Someone has to have a measure of faith has to spring up in the healing faith. Or resurrection faith, whatever. And I am confident today that one of those students had been spoken to by the Holy Spirit and said, if you will have Uncle pray for this sister, I will heal her. I will raise her up from that gurney that she's laying on, unconscious. So I went down with them. And folks, here's where the spiritual rubber meets the theological road. I preached on it, and I believe in it. And I said, well, there's about 7 or 8 of us there. I said, we're all going to pray in one accord, just like it says in Acts 4, verses 24 to 31. It says in Acts 4, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They were in one accord. They were in one accord in Solomon's porch. They were in one accord in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell. And they were in one accord as they prayed, because they'd been persecuted for the guy being healed at the Gate Beautiful. And they prayed, and the end of those verses in verse 31, and when they had prayed, like that, that the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The ground shook as they had finished praying. They were praying in one accord. They're all in one accord. They're praying in one accord for the church to go forth. And we were there in this dispensary praying for this young lady. And she was probably 19 years old. She probably weighed about 105 pounds. She wasn't very big. And she was unconscious or in a coma. I don't know if she's breathing or not. I just know, I said, go down to the kitchen, bring a little bit of butter in a cup, and keep your fingers in it so it melts. You're going to anoint them with oil. That's a symbol of the Holy Ghost. When they got back, we prayed a bit there and talked, and then they came back with the cup full of a little bit of butter in it. Now, so I'm going to anoint this young sister with oil on the forehead, and we're going to pray together in one accord, all out loud together in a crescendo. It's not one guy prays here, one guy prays there later, another guy prays in a serial prayer. No, it's concurrent prayer. Corporate concert prayer, the old-fashioned way, the way they did it, the way the old church used to do it. I've seen it, saw it many times. I reached over, folks, and I touched my finger on her head. I said, y'all hold my one hand. We'll all hold hands here. We'll all stand together. Can you touch my arm? Whatever. We're going to pray together for her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, and I prayed the best prayer I could pray, as hard as I could pray, and when I touched her head was so hot, I thought, oh my goodness, she has burned her brain. Lord, we just must be too late. But I prayed anyhow. I prayed the best prayer I could, the most fervent prayer I've ever prayed in my life. And as the prayer tailed off, I said, okay, amen, in the name of Jesus, we ask it in his precious holy name for her healing. In his name we ask it, amen. I said, you all go to your room. You go to your room, you go to your dormitories, and you all, the girls in your dormitory, get together and pray just like we did. One of you can kneel down, and you can, by proxy, you can lay hand on her head, and you all pray together for this sister in this dispensary. And the boys, you go to your room. You boys get together a group, and you do the same thing. We need a miracle here also. I told them before, we need a miracle. The opposition party was causing big trouble. There was danger there. And I said, you all need to pray and fast. Who will pray and fast? And they all raise their hands. They just pick a day next tomorrow, or to miss one meal, maybe, and pray that morning or whatever day you do it, make a thing to pray, and pray for a miracle in our school here. I wasn't thinking about, I didn't know a thing about the girl going to be in the dispensary. The sister will be in the dispensary. And so, they went and left, went back to their dormitory, and I went to bed. And as usual, I probably got up at 3 in the morning and prayed. And at 5:35, 5:40, I went upstairs. And here they are chattering and talking. They're not sitting around praying and just quietly praying for the service. They were all chattering and talking and chattering and talking. And I could hear them. I looked around and said, okay. I got my Bible and I stood up to the podium. And all of a sudden, Uncle, look. Lord Jesus, heal me. Look, Uncle, look. I'm here, Uncle, look. I'm well, Uncle. And there she stood. It was only 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours from the time I'd seen her. Unconscious on that table with fever. I mean, India has fevers terrible, folks. There's fevers killing people. They only live 46 years, average. We live 76. And there she was. And I made the mistake. I should have said, "Look, sister, tell your story. What happened?" Of course, she told them something because they were all chattering and talking. And I preached my little sermonette. And of course, that night we gathered to go to the train station. And all of them, the first two times, nobody went to the train station with me, but a couple of kids and the vice director's son, the vice director, the son of the director. I got in the pedicab, and here's 200 kids following me to the train station. A little pedal cab, you know, a little pedicab. And it was a pedicab. It may have been a, maybe it was a push cab. I don't know. But anyhow, I can't recall now, but I know they followed me. They walked a half a mile to the train station behind me, and they were standing in front of the steps of the train station when I last spoke to them. And they were there, and I'm thinking, wow, all the kids. I didn't realize it till later that something miraculous had happened, and she had evidently told them what she had seen in her when she was unconscious. She had told them something, and there they were. They followed me to the train station. As far as I know, they never followed anybody else. That's the first time they followed me to the train station. And it came to me over time. But the Lord had touched that blessed little sister. Now, somewhere she's out there, okay? It's been 25 years at least. She was 20. She's 45 or 50 years old now somewhere, folks. She's out there. She probably has kids of her own. But the Lord raised her from sickness or whatever that day, that night. And that night, the opposition party came to the school and came to the headquarters, to the institute, and they wanted to kill Samuel, the director's son. They said, he's not here. So I got on the train. And the train, the first time I'd ever been on the train on a first-class sleeper, though, I always bought a ticket for the first class. The chief of staff of the Indian Army was on the train, and he was in the compartment next to me, and there was armed soldiers on both ends of the car. And my buddy, a pal who was on the train with me, he'd come back to see me at the school after he graduated that year. He said, Uncle, they stopped that train three times in Rajasthan State on the way to New Delhi. They stopped that train three times. They knew I was on that train. I don't know whether they're after me or not, but I know they stopped that train three times. But there were armed guards on both ends of that car. And I was in the sleeping car. First time. It only cost $35 to go 500 miles round trip. air-conditioned Pullman car, okay? So that is the power of the resurrected Christ. Let me tell you about another time. We were in Garrett County, Maryland, where my mother and dad were born, and they said, let's go down and pray for Tanya. Okay. Tanya's got fourth-stage Lyme. She's 22, and she's dying. She's going to die. There's no hope. Her grandmother was there, one of my mother's best friends when she was in school in 1928. The grandmother of Tanya was there. Pastor Hickson and his wife were there, and there were four of us. Four of us went down to pray, and we were all in one accord. Why? We were praying for this young lady. She had Lyme disease about 4 years, and she was in the fourth stage. They couldn't save her. She was weak. As pretty as a picture, but she couldn't even move. She was so weak. And so, we were sitting there talking and talking, and Pastor Hickson says to me, and he's about 10 years older than me, at least. He says, Brother Alex, why don't you read a verse? Read a scripture. I say, what? Read a scripture? I'm thinking, man, you're 10 years older than me. You got the white hair. You need to read that scripture. This girl's dying, and you're asking me to read a scripture. Well, I prayed that morning. Like always, I prayed. And I think, Lord, what do I do? I mean, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray or what scripture to read. I mean, I can't fleece it. I don't hear it. I mean, all of a sudden, I heard three words. 103. I heard three syllables. 103. I said, 103. Man, that must be Psalms 103. And here's what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I didn't know it was in 103. I know what Psalm 22 says. I know what Psalm 2 says. I know what the 23rd Psalm says. I know what the 91st Psalm says. I know what the 150th Psalm says. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Ooh. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Oh. Oh, man. I'm reading this to the other three people and to this young lady in that bed. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with tender, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Ooh. I didn't know that was in there, folks. I didn't have a clue what Psalm 103 says. But you know one thing? I know today what it says. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth, she was 22, is renewed like the eagles. I stopped and I said, folks, I didn't know what to do when I got this scripture, but I got this scripture. Just I heard the words. One, the Lord spake to me and said, 103. And I said, I've never read this before. I can't remember ever reading this psalm before. I can't remember this. But there it was. I read the settled word in heaven. It matches what's settled in heaven, and we were four in one accord. We were representing the Creator of the universe, Jesus the Christ of God. We were praying in His name. And we started to pray, and folks, we prayed. And we prayed, and we prayed an out loud prayer. We lifted up our voices in one accord. We were in one accord for her life, for her healing. We were in one accord. And we prayed. When we finished, we shook hands. We left. I went back to near D.C. This was in 1990. Actually, I was living in Virginia then. Went home. The pastor and his wife went back to Garrett County from Cumberland and Steely. The grandmother went back. And I was went on back to do whatever I'm doing. And one day I'm sitting around. I said, oh, my goodness, whatever happened to Tanya? Well, I hadn't thought about it. I just completely forgot. And so I knew what the maiden name was of the grandmother, I mean the mother's maiden name, and I knew what the grandfather's name was. So I looked that up in there, and I found it, John, and the last name. And so I rang the phone. Sure enough, folks, he said, I'm looking for Tanya. Where's Tanya? She went to work yesterday. She went back to work yesterday, 3 months later. Well, praise the Lord. May the Lord Jesus be praised. She was healed. And I heard the words, and it was my faith, I guess, because I heard those words. We read that psalm. She was healed. Well, we're coming to the end of the program. I will say a short prayer. Father, we thank you. We love you. We love Jesus. Lord, bless the listeners. Bless this ministry. Bless this program. Bless this producer. We want you to just be with us, Lord. Bless them this following week. And we just ask these things in the name of Jesus. And got a couple more minutes here, I probably, but you know, folks,